Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to start where we left off last week in verse 8 and hope try to make it down through verse 12 tonight. We've talked about over the past few weeks as we studied this book what we have in Christ, the riches that we have in him, and how that ought to show up in how we live our lives. And the last few weeks, we've talked about how it ought to show up in our roles as citizens and employees and as spouses. And so he starts verse 8 tonight with the word finally. And it's not the end of the letter. There's a couple more chapters, but it's the end of a section, the section that talks about how a believer's life ought to be affected by his walk with Christ, what his life ought to exhibit as he walks with Jesus. And Peter's going to end it with sort of a general summary. And again, remember, this letter is written to Christians. And so he says in chapter 3, verse 8, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." And so he says, be of all one mind. Now, I'll ask a rhetorical question. Does that mean that we're all supposed to agree on everything? And of course, the answer is no. If that was the test, we'd be in trouble. There's always going to be personal preferences. There's always going to be differences of opinion about things. But if we all strive to have that mind of Christ, like it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, a mind whose thinking led to humility, a mind whose thinking led to submission," we will, as we've been talking about, line up under the authorities that God has put in our life. We will play the roles as he's defined for us to play as citizens and as employees and as spouses. And we can have that one mind even though we don't agree on every single thing. And then he says, have compassion one of another. And that word compassion means that we share each other's suffering. That when one person hurts, we all hurt. And that we do what we can to help or to try to relieve that hurt. And so we cry with one another, we hurt with one another, we pray for one another, and we do whatever we can do to relieve that hurt. And then he says, we're to love as brethren. And I will remind you tonight, as believers, we are family members. We're part of the same family. And a family loves each other in a different way than just mere acquaintances. I've been reminded of this the past few days as I've been visiting in the hospital with the McPhersons and with Betty and Harry and Judy, and then with Larry and Bev the last couple of days. Families love each other. Doesn't matter what's going on in their life. Doesn't matter if the kids always do what mom and dad want them to do. They love one another. And that love shows up in actions. Again, you've heard me say, love's just not a feeling. Love is actions. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And when a member of the family hurts or gets sick, the family rallies around them, even to the point where I've seen it this week where kids fuss with one another about who's going to stay with mom. And the moms, you know, they say, "I don't want anybody to stay. I am all right by myself. Just go home, get a good night's rest." And I told both of them, I said, don't stop them from loving you. Let them stay. Let them love you, because that's what families do. And Peter says, that's how we're to love one another. That's how we're to love as brethren. We're family. He says, be pitiful, be courteous, having a tender heart and a humble mind. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, even as Christians, our heart gets hard and it gets callous. And we don't We don't love our fellow brethren the way that we should. And I was thinking about it. For the most part, I know there's some exceptions, but for the most part, you'd never let your heart get like that towards your dad or your mom. You'd never let your heart get like that toward your son or your daughter. You'd never let your heart get like that toward any of your grandchildren. And I was thinking this week, why? Why is it sometimes that we get a little hard or a little callous when it comes to fellow church members or fellow Christians, and yet when it comes to family, we never get that way? And here's what I came up with. Here's a thought that came to my mind. We have trained our minds and our hearts to love our family that way. I mean, I know there's some of you that have dads that haven't been the kind of dads they always needed to be. Some of you have had moms that haven't always been the kind of moms that they needed to be. And, you know, but we've trained our minds and we've trained our hearts. They're family. I mean, some of you have kids that haven't always been what you wanted them to be. But you still love them. You'd still die for them. You still rally around them when they hurt. Doesn't matter what they've done. Doesn't matter the choices they've made that you've disagreed with. You've trained your mind and you've trained your heart. They're my family. I'm going to love them regardless. I'm going to love them regardless of what they've done, how they've disappointed me, you know, the situation that they put themselves in, the bad choices. We've trained our minds and we've trained our hearts to love our family like that. We can do the same thing toward one another. And Peter says that's what you ought to do. You need to train your mind. You need to train your heart to love the brethren. Then look at verse 9 in chapter 3. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are therefore thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. And so Peter's saying, don't render evil for evil. Don't say like the world says, well, you did it to me, I'm going to do it to you. Or like the world says, do unto others as they have done unto me. Or like the world says, and they quote the Bible, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But here's what God says. Turn the other cheek. Here's what God says. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Here's what God says. If they ask for your coat, give them your cloak. If they ask you to go a mile, go 2 miles. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And so I say to you tonight, if somebody's treating you bad, stay out of it. Just stay out of it. Don't pay back evil for evil. If they're railing on you, in other words, if they're fussing at you, if they're saying things about you, if they're yelling at you, if they're railing on you, walk away. Just walk away. Follow Jesus' example. He was led as a lamb silent to the slaughter. Pilate said, don't you hear all these things that they're accusing you of? Don't you have anything to say? The high priest said the same thing. Where's your defense? Don't you have anything to say? And he stood there, for the most part, silent. Silent. I'll confess a mean streak in me. I found that if somebody's railing on you, you can get under their skin more by just being quiet. I mean, you know, our old nature says, well, okay, you want to yell at me, I want to yell at you. You want to fuss at me, I'll fuss at you. And that's what our old nature wants to do. But that doesn't accomplish anything. And again, I probably shouldn't say it this way, but you can get under your skin more if you just not say anything. Just walk away. Now, we ought to do it because that's what God tells us to do, not to be mean. But I guess we can enjoy it a little bit by doing what we're supposed to do. but not given railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. So when somebody curses you, bless them. When they say something about you that's untrue, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Because we've been called unto that. That's what God wants us to do. That's the example that Jesus set for us. And he says, there's a promise that you inherit a blessing. That you inherit a blessing. As I read that verse and studied it, I thought about the beatitude that in Matthew chapter 5 that says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The children of God. Now, I want to read verses 10 through 12 all together, and you'll understand why in just a minute. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Peter is quoting Psalm 34. Not quoting, he's paraphrasing Psalm 34. You don't need to, you keep your Bibles open to 1 Peter chapter 3. I want to turn back, and I'm going to read from Psalm 34, verses 13 through 17, and you sort of compare them. Listen to what I'm reading, and then follow along in your Bible in 1 Peter chapter 3. So I'm reading from Psalm 34, beginning in verse 13. Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And so he says, for he that will love life, for he that will love life. Now, we as Christians ought to love life. We ought to enjoy being alive. We ought to get up every morning and we ought to look forward to what's in store for the day. And we ought to go to bed every night and thanking the Lord and saying, Lord, what a good day today was. I can't wait to see what tomorrow brings. I would point out to you tonight that most people don't enjoy life. They don't love life. I mean, most people, especially those that don't know the Lord, I think they dread it. I don't think they want to get up in the morning. I don't think they enjoy what the day holds. I don't think they look forward to tomorrow. But we that know the Lord, we that know Jesus as our Savior, ought to love life. And it says, for he that will love life and see good days, feel the presence of God, see his blessings, get to the end of the day and say, this has been a good day. Some of you go out on Sunday night, and it's always a blessing to my heart. And as you're shaking my hand as you go out on Sunday night, you always say, Brother Darrell, or you say, Preacher, or something. Say, this has been a good day. This has been a good day. And Peter says, if you follow what I'm about to tell you, you'll be able to say that about every day, that today was a good day. So if you want to love life and see good days, let him refraineth his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. In James, it talks about the tongue. And it says, it talks about how much damage the tongue can do. And it talks about how we need to tame the tongue and says it's a hard job to tame it. But Peter says we ought to keep our tongue and our lips from speaking evil, from speaking untruth, from speaking deceit, from speaking gossip. I was visiting with Bev last night, and she reminded me of a story about those three preachers that were at some retreat, and they were trying to draw closer to God. And one of the things that was suggested to them that they confess their sins one to another. And so these three preachers got together after the meeting, and they said, "You know, do you think we ought to try what that guy was talking about and confess our sins one to another?" And they sort of looked at each other and said, "Well, okay, I guess we can try it, see if it works." And one of them said, "Well, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but sometimes when I get away from home, I like to nip a little bit of wine. Not a lot, but I sort of like to drink wine." And the other one said, "Well, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but when I get away and I get out of town, I always buy me a lottery ticket. I mean, I know it's not right, I know it's gambling, but I just buy a couple." And the third one says, "Well, I don't know if I should tell you this, but I like to gossip." And you know what he was going to talk about. But we got to refrain our tongue from speaking evil. And then it says, let him eschew evil. Not only not speak it, but not do it. And to hate it. We've learned to tolerate it too much in our world. Because we've learned to tolerate it, we put up with a lot of things that we should stand up for. And they go on, and many times we don't know about it. And if we know about it, we don't stand up for right. One of Don and Jean McPherson's daughters is a counselor, I think, in the Clio schools. And I didn't know about it until they were telling me about it. I guess up here in the Ford dealership that they closed right at 75 and Vienna Road, they've opened a medical marijuana outfit. And their daughter has been trying to raise support to get the council to pass a law that would make it hard for them to stay open. Because she says, yeah, they get it for medical purposes, but then they give it to their kids, and their kids bring it to school, and I see it in the kids at council. And so Don was telling me, I guess they had a meeting Monday night, or I think it was Monday night, and the township hall was packed with all those that wanted them to stay. Not many that were against it wanted them to stay, because we've learned to tolerate it. We've put up with it. And Peter says, under again, the Holy Spirit speaking, hey, if you want to love life and you want to see good days, then don't speak evil, and don't do evil, and hate evil. Which means that we need to stand up and not tolerate it, not take it for granted. And when it's wrong, say it's wrong. Seek and ensue peace. Run after peace. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. I want God's eyes on me. I want him watching me. I want him to know what's going on in my life. Because if he knows, he'll intervene. He'll direct my path. He'll keep me out of trouble. And I was thinking about that story where the people of Israel, you know, made that golden calf. And Moses came down, broke the Ten Commandments. And God says, you guys go ahead. I'll send an angel with you, but I'm not going. You're too stubborn. I'm afraid if I go with you, I'll kill you before we get there. And Moses says, Lord, if you're not going, we're not going either. Because how is the world going to know that you're our God and we're your people unless you go with us? I don't want God to ever take his eyes off of me. I want his eyes on me, and I want his ears open to my prayers. I want God to hear when I pray, whether I can pray in words, whether I pray with my tears, or whether I can't do either, and I don't know how to pray, I don't know how to cry. Those times when the Holy Spirit does part of his job and helps me when I pray. I want God to hear. And then I don't want the face of the Lord against us. That last part of verse 12 says, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. When I was a kid, for the most part, my dad led the singing in our church, and my mom played the piano. And when we were little boys, they made us sit on the front row, very front row, right over there. Piano was up there. Dad led the singing from the pulpit. Now, I was a good kid, always. But my two brothers were hellions. I mean, they would just get into one thing after another. And so we'd be sitting. Now, if you believe that, don't believe it. I did my share. But we'd sit on that front row, and whenever they got into something, or when we got into something, we would get a look. Sometimes it would be from Dad. Sometimes it would be from Mom. I never understood how she could play the piano and look at us at the same time. But I know exactly what this verse means when it says the Lord's face is against those that do evil, because their face was against us. And we knew that we were going to get it when the church was over. Sometimes he didn't even wait till we got home. We went in the bathroom at church and got the punishment, so we knew exactly why we were getting it. But I don't know about you. I want to love life. I want to see good days. And Peter says, well, here's how you do it. Keep your tongue and your lips from evil and from speaking guile. Pursue peace. Hate evil. Hate evil. And God will keep his eyes on you. And God won't turn his face against you. And God will keep his ears open and hear your prayer. Glad you were here tonight. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.